Hello, this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. Today we have some great guests with us. In the first half, we're going to talk to Dr. Owen about allergies and what we can do. And in the second half, we're talking to Nathaniel Burke about healing with hemp. But first, here's Alan with the Health First News.
Immunity to the novel coronavirus could last for a year and possibly longer, particularly after COVID-19 vaccination. Two recent studies indicate that most people who contracted COVID-19, recovered, and then got vaccinated later may not need a booster shot, according to the New York Times. Those who were never infected and then got vaccinated may need a booster shot later, the newspaper reported. Both studies looked at people who were exposed to COVID-19 about a year ago. In a study published in the journal Nature, scientists found that certain immune cells may survive in the bone marrow of people who were infected and later vaccinated. Those immune cells may create antibodies whenever needed. In another study published on the BioRxiv preprint server, researchers found that these memory B cells can grow and strengthen for at least 12 months after an initial infection. This study has not yet been peer-reviewed. An experimental antibody therapy may help ease skin symptoms from the autoimmune disease lupus, a small preliminary trial suggests. Researchers found that a higher dose version of the drug spurred a clinically meaningful symptom improvement for 87% of patients after 1 month, but they also stressed that the findings were based on a small phase 1 trial, a type of study designed primarily to gauge a treatment's safety. Lead researcher Jody Carnell, a senior director of research at Horizon Therapeutics, the company developing the drug, said the safety findings were encouraging and there were some hints of clinical benefit. Now, she said, larger trials are needed to confirm that the therapy works. With rising COVID-19 cases in Japan and the Tokyo Olympics less than 2 months away, canceling the Summer Games may be the safest option, according to a new editorial published last week in the New England Journal of Medicine. Several U.S. public health experts called for officials to protect Olympic athletes from COVID-19 and urged a risk management approach to reduce potential spread of the virus. The editorial was written by Michael Osterholm and Lisa Brousseau from the University of Minnesota, Annie Sparrow from the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai in New York, and Robert Harrison from the University of California at San Francisco. They said, with less than 2 months until the Olympic torch is lit, canceling the games may be the safest option. We rally around the torch because we recognize the value of the things that connect us over the value of things that separate us. And finally, each city has its individual mix of telltale microbes, new research shows. Study senior author Christopher Mason said, if you gave me your shoe, I could tell you with about 90% accuracy the city in the world from which you came. He is director of the World Quant Initiative for Quantitative Prediction in New York City. His team analyzed microbes gathered from the air and surfaces of public transit systems and hospitals in 60 cities on 6 continents. Their findings were published May 26th in the journal Cell.
We have Dr. Owen with us today to help explain why allergies happen and what we can do about them. Welcome, Owen.
Hi, Kathy. Good to be here.
Yeah. It's great to have you on the show again. You've educated us a few times, and we're just happy to have you back to get the goods on what we can do with allergies and why they actually happen.
Yeah, especially right now. I mean, with how bad the season has been.
Mm-hmm. What causes that nose to drip and the eyes to get runny and mucousy?
Oh, God, only a few of the worst symptoms. I mean, allergies really are kind of the immune system mistakenly reacting to something. I mean, a bit of pet dander, a bit of pollen, it really shouldn't cause the reaction that it does. But if you said that to 10 million Canadians, they would tell you that you're crazy. Because what's happening is our immune system sees the pollen as a threat to our body. And so it's going to actually mount an immune response against it, even though it's not supposed to cause any damage to the body like a virus or a bacteria would.
Mm-hmm. So your body's going into high defense over a speck of pollen or dust or dirt or mites.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And what can we do then if our bodies are more prone to it? It sounds like a lot of Canadians are sneezing and lots of inflammation, lots of runny noses, runny eyes. How can we strengthen our bodies so it doesn't happen at all?
Yeah, and that's the big question. I mean, according to the Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology Society, about 10 to 20%, right, of Canadians are affected. So we are always trying to figure out ways to get around it. But it's tough because you do want to individualize the approach, but there's products. We can look at diet. and kind of minimizing our exposure to those allergens specifically.
Can we be more proactive maybe with our diets or with our nutrition in February and March, so when April, May comes, that things could be easier?
Yeah, and that's a really good point. I mean, even this March, we kind of had the perfect combination of weather where we got that really warm weather, and then that kind of kick-started Mother Nature combined with the rains. And now we're seeing, at least in Ontario, not a lot of rain. So that means things are drier, and it's easier for winds to kind of whip up the pollen into the air. So, I mean, proactively, I always recommend to my own patients starting about a month out from allergy season. But the trouble is we're now kind of seeing that start to the season shift earlier and earlier as the climate's starting to really warm a little bit at a time.
So Valentine's Day might be a good day to start.
Yeah, yeah. Give yourself the gift of a healthy body.
Yeah, that sounds good.
We could all use that.
If we haven't super strengthened our immune systems so that they're less likely to get inflamed and get mucusy, what can we do when it actually does come on, like when the nose is constantly running?
Yeah, so, I mean, from a dietary perspective, one of the best things is actually start to involve those foods that just make your nose run. So wasabi and mustards and peppers, and they can actually act as natural decongestants. They stimulate the mucus blocking the nose to thin. So it's going to actually help move it out of the body. So I really like that approach, because if people can handle a little bit of spice, then that's a really easy, simple way to approach kind of symptom relief in the beginning. But otherwise, you could look at curcumin. So turmeric is one of the other really great ingredients, and it actually helps to inhibit that allergic response by playing with the immune system. So that's kind of two of the biggest things that I suggest for diet approach.
Is there anything we should take out of our diet to strengthen it?
In terms of our diet, taking things out, I always like adding things in. I find it when people come to see their local ND, it's, don't take away my bread. And so I work with adding things in. You don't want to take away the
until
bread.
Until they get so full, they don't have room for that bread.
Exactly. But our Western diet is really high in omega-6. So we actually want to balance it out with omega-3 fatty acids, because to balance out the ratio. And the nice thing is, the omega-3 play a really big role in all parts of the body, but they actually help to reduce the risk of wheezing and asthma in children.
Good. And you can take omega-3s all year round.
Exactly. It doesn't have to be this thing that just starts, and add some fish into your diet, locally caught.
Would that be enough, or would we have to go to the essential fatty acids in supplemental form?
Yeah, so I mean, especially with kind of the heavy metal accumulation that we're seeing more and more in fish, it's always best to get it from a product, a good renowned product, because when you actually look at the different research studies, you need quite a bit, about 3 grams of the different fatty acids. And I mean, unless you're having fish every single day, some cultures do, you're not going to get around there.
So Owen, what about those vegetarians that want omega-3s but don't want to eat a fish?
Yeah, no, fair point. I mean, even the kind of omega-3 that is out there, some of it, it's hard to get a vegan source. So even Avogel has a product known as Veg Omega-3, and it's actually synthesized from different products that are vegan-based, plant-based. So that's a really good option when you're trying to avoid any animal sources, which many, many want to. And we're really shifting away from animal source.
You think that's going to be really, it seems to be a really strong, even through the north here, which is amazing. Do you think that that's going to be a constant trend?
I think it is. Even when you look at kind of the global wellness trend, I think as people become more educated and eco-conscious, they really want to protect the environment and help contribute to a lasting world for their children and for their grandchildren. And so, you know, it doesn't have to be you stop eating meat tomorrow, but I think people are just becoming a little more conscious. Instead of having it 5 days a week, meat and potatoes, now maybe it's once a week. Mm-hmm. So little baby steps, I think we're seeing them become more constant.
What was our good nature doctor, Alfred Vogel, what was his idea around food?
He loved food in terms of really getting back to organic and fresh. And when you look at a lot of the Vogel products, they're all fresh based. So we don't do any drying, because we've actually found that when you dry the different herbs and the plants, the compounds in them are less concentrated. So now, instead of taking one a day, like our product for hot flashes or our product for prostate health, like we talked about last time, all of a sudden you have to take five a day. And nobody wants to do that.
Right. And so when you do it from fresh, when you're creating the product right from fresh herb, it's more potent, more alive?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah. The heat tends to destroy different compounds that are found in the product. So, I mean, if you just avoid using that heat, then you're maintaining it all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. So everything starts with a tincture at first, and then it's created into tablets after?
Exactly, yeah. So the nice thing is, we often get asked, okay, well, if I take the tablets, are they as potent, or is the research on the tincture applicable to the tablets? And the great thing is it is, because we cold press the tablets straight from the tincture.
Nice. So if we're having allergy symptoms just in this season, do those same products, would they help us in January just with dusty bedrooms and dust mites and things like that? Or is it different?
Yeah, I mean, we always tend to think of allergies as really only spring.
Right.
And we don't see that, because you have people who are more sensitive to even mold allergies and mold spores, and those tend to show up in the winter when our houses are sealed and all of a sudden we have turned on the heat, and because of the drier air, now we've added humidifiers. So you've created a warm, dark, and moist environment that really is a big contributor to fungal growth, and people are allergic. So a product like Allergy Relief, even though we think it might be spring-based, really that could be used all year round, because in the fall, now you deal with ragweed allergies and pet dander, of course.
So it truly isn't just a springtime thing. It can affect people all year round.
Exactly, yes.
Pollinasan. Now, there are some that are actually, is that homeopathy?
It is, yeah. So, I mean, the nice thing about that, it's safe for pregnant and nursing, and you can take it year-round, and it does have a clinical trial that was done on it. So I really like that, because it is a little bit of research, and you can always chat a little more openly about it. But they did a clinical trial in the Netherlands, and the use of the product actually resulted in an 88.5% improvement in allergy symptoms, especially in nasal congestion, which I loved that. And most of the people in this study, almost 90%, said that they would take it again. So they found it really beneficial.
Excellent. So pollinasan is the energy from certain pollens? A lot of different things?
Yeah, I like to think of it more like microdosing almost. So you're basically exposing the body to really minute amounts of these different flowering species that are in the product. And so because of that, if you're doing it a month out from allergy season, you're almost training it a little bit to not respond as dramatically, almost what they're doing with peanut allergies as well now.
And does it work the same whether you get like an inhaler or take tablets or tincture?
It comes in a tablet form and nasal spray form. And the nice thing is I like to think about the tablets more for inside out. So they're going to treat all the different types of symptoms. Mm-hmm. But if you need relief now, you better take that nasal spray, because that is going to be applied directly to the mucous membrane. So really making contact with an area that's more prone to the allergies quickly.
Okay, we're going to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about allergies and how to solve this issue.